Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope fans, it is Jared and Shane, and special guests behind us. This is another Scope Summer Movie Review. This time around, we're a little late to the party
Spider-Man. We were away for the weekend, thank you.
Yeah, you'll catch that show on our proper Scope episode coming at you soon. But we're talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. It is the latest Marvel movie, and it is a co-production between Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures, Jared.
Correct.
This is yet another reboot. Some might say the third reboot Spider-Man film.
I think many people would say that.
Some might say it. I'm not going to get into those politics. But I am going to say we've got a new Spider-Man. We've got all new characters, Jared.
We do.
And this Spider-Man...
Fresh takes on all the classics.
And guess what? It was set up in the Captain America movie, Captain America Civil War. So before we talk about plot, let's talk about who stars in this. Who is the new Spider-Man?
I believe it is Robert Downey Jr.
Right, because he's in everything.
He plays, though. Tom Holland plays Peter Parker / the Spider-Man.
He does. Who else do we got in this? Tony Stark?
Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr. returns.
We just confused them.
Jon Favreau as Happy.
Happy comes back in this film. Yeah, he has not been in a lot of them, but this one he is there.
You've got Marissa Tomei as Aunt May.
Yep.
Returning.
Hot May. We've got Michael Keaton, right?
Michael Keaton as our main villain.
The Vulture.
Never mentioned as the Vulture.
No, that's fine. You don't have to do that. Yeah. Bad guys don't have names.
Tombs, that's his name. Who else?
We've got Zendaya.
Zendaya as Michelle, later revealed to be MJ.
MJ.
What does that mean, folks? I suppose since it is Monday after a big weekend for Spider-Man, chances are you've probably seen this already, so we can get into a little bit of spoilers. That's
yes.
All right.
Well, you just did it, Jared. A big one. You dropped a bomb.
Yeah, retroactive. Spoiler alert!
And then you've got his cast of friends.
I don't know all of the young kids' names, but I know Tony Revolori, whatever, from Grand Budapest Hotel. He played Flash Thompson.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that guy.
And the other ones, I don't know their names.
His best friend, Ned.
Ned, yeah.
But I don't remember. I've never seen that kid, but he's good.
He's good. He's a man in a chair.
He's supposed
to be a man in a chair, Jane.
He's sort of a take on the ultimate Spider-Man's best friend. I believe his name is Genki.
Genki, okay.
But they changed
it. So it's not the same character, but he's similar in character.
It's very, very similar. And in Ultimate Spider-Man, Genki was Miles Morales' best friend, not Peter Parker's best friend, the new Spider-Man. So let's talk about this reboot. What happens, Jared? How is this set up?
Well, initially it's set up kind of during the period of Captain America: Civil War. We're seeing a film by Peter Parker, which is ostensibly his video blog of his life around the times, where he's recruited by Tony Stark and he shows up at the big airport battle and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of get the behind-the-scenes take on that one.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to do that.
And then we smash cut to eight months later. Not 8 years, that would be a long time.
Well, there are big jumps there because
That's true, we did. Okay, so actually the opening scene we had was before. It was in
the first Avengers.
Avengers, big battle. There's a lot of destruction, and we're introduced to Michael Keaton and his crew of workers, and they're just trying to make a living, Shane.
They're local Joes that were tasked to clean up the mess, but then we find out the government says...
Stepping in.
No, it's the government always bringing you down.
And we finally get our first look at what has been known in Marvel Comics for a while is the crew that cleans up these messes, Damage Control.
Yes.
They seem to be a bit more... I don't know if nefarious is the right word, but they're definitely a government entity.
Connected to Tony Stark, Stark Industries.
Exactly. Damage Control in the comics was a little bit more comedic.
Yes.
Kind of a lighthearted take on the shenanigans that go on behind the scenes of the cleanup. A little bit different in this.
In this case, they squash the little guy.
Yep.
The little guy being Michael Keaton's crew. So, Michael Keaton and his... We're calling Michael Keaton. Like, it's Michael Keaton.
Tombs. Tombs has a...
Tombs playing himself as Michael Keaton.
Turns out they were ordered to turn everything that they collected in, but it turns out they didn't. Yesterday's load.
Yes.
They didn't turn it in.
And by turning in, we're talking about
alien technology. Glowing orbs of things, powerful stuff.
MacGuffin devices, if you will.
So an opportunity is there for him to kind of start his new line of work, which ends up being crafting high-end weapons based on scavenged technology.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
And he creates himself a vulture-like suit.
He does.
Bringing us one of Spider-Man's most beloved villains of all time. Never to be seen in film. Until now.
Yeah, it's true. Is he beloved?
Well, people love the Vulture.
I see it on t-shirts all the time.
There we go.
Present day, Peter Parker is a high school student. He's an academic. He's in the academic decathlon.
Just turned 15.
He's still doing his Stark internship, which is him basically going out on the town at night, being Spider-Man, doing stuff, and kind of reporting back to Happy, hoping one day to get called up again to join the Avengers to do another mission. He's getting kind of bored with his friendly neighborhood Spider-Man shtick, and he's looking for something bigger and better.
He wants to hunt bigger game.
He thinks he's ready for the big time, but maybe Tony Stark doesn't. Maybe Tony Stark says that he needs to just chill and train a little bit more and learn his place in the world.
Well, guess what? Spider-Man doesn't take that advice.
No.
He continues to get himself into deeper and deeper waters until he almost creates a mass casualty situation.
Mm-hmm. Iron Man has to step in. Well.
Takes away his suit.
Part of Iron Man.
Yeah. Takes away his suit, and then Peter's got to figure out his life.
Yep.
But guess what? He's tied to the Vulture in ways we could have never seen.
We're not going to spoil that.
Yeah. I would say if you want to chip away at any plot issues, that convenient plot twist is a little dicey. But at the same time...
I think there's a couple others you can chip away at, honestly, if you wanted to start picking at nits here.
Well, we could. And maybe we will. And anyway, so Spider-Man, he has to grow up.
Yep.
He has to learn how to fight his battles and be the hero that he needs to be. Without relying on all this fancy Stark tech. Right. And he needs to rely on himself, everybody. Be honest with himself, Audrey.
Right.
So there we go.
He's got to walk before he can run.
Yeah, you can't just be a snotty teenager, or preteen in this case.
Additional coming-of-age metaphor.
Learn lessons, kid, back there. So, right. Yes, Jared, we've talked about the movie in detail. Let's talk about how we feel about it in detail.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah?
I walked out, I said, to me, the best Spider-Man movie of the bunch. It feels good when you have a character that's done right, that feels a part of the universe, but you don't necessarily have to know everything about the universe, right? He just exists within these nooks and crannies.
It's nice that they didn't have to do an origin story. They did allude to it.
Yeah, they talk about it in a 30-second conversation.
But, it's nice that he's already Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We don't have to build up the whole mythology again. We get it. We know who Spider-Man is.
With these archetypes of characters, most people know the story. And with these movies that they've told that story at least two or three times, we don't need to go through it again. And they didn't. And good for them.
Yep.
So, yes, I appreciated that. It's interesting because it's not just the standard Spider-Man origin or the Spider-Man universe. It is sort of an amalgamation of a bunch of different things. The Marvel movie universe, the ultimate Marvel comic universe, the straight-up Marvel comic book world, and then just sort of other things that they put in.
It is, yeah, it's an interesting... It's definitely its own take on Spider-Man. Yep. It's like... there are characters that you will recognize from Spider-Man in the past, but they've definitely diversified the cast. Flash Thompson is not a... blonde strapping blonde guy. He's like, an Indian kid who just happens to be rich and is kind of a dick to him.
Yes.
MJ calls him Penis Parker.
Penis Parker, which I like that nickname. MJ is not a supermodel.
No. So I like the diversity of the cast. I like the fact that they're willing to sort of look at their characters that they have and kind of reinterpret them for modern times. Thank you for that.
If they are strong characters, and they have elements of the characters that existed in the comic books, I think that you can do whatever you want to do with them. Why not? Right?
Absolutely.
It works. I mean, the Shocker, another character, the sub-bad guy, who was not a big player in the movie, but, he's not the Shocker that you remember in the comic books.
No.
Stuff like that. So, and generally speaking, Spider-Man never had Stark armor technology.
No, and honestly, if I'm going to pick at something in this film, I'm not 100% on board with the Stark tech-enabled Spider-Man suit. I think it's a little bit... It's too much of the Iron Man stuff in it, and I know that people like that, but I really hope that in future iterations, maybe they bring more of Peter Parker's technology to it, because he's... the character, he's very smart, he is quite the inventor, and it feels like, it feels like they're not allowing him to bring enough of his own intelligence to the game. you know, he's already just gifted this super suit from Tony Stark.
So I don't have as much of a problem with that, because I feel like it's an organic advancement of the story.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it feels...
Hey, put your jibber-jabbing back there. Making fun of us.
It feels like it is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now,
no, I get
now,
that.
Now, if they, you know, if they sort of let Spider-Man be Spider-Man without all that, without all of the Stark influence, and they may do that, maybe we see some differences in the next one.
And also, maybe it's an artifact of him being a high school-age kid who doesn't have access to all of the materials and technology that would allow him to create his own suit of a similar capability.
Absolutely. So
I'll allow it.
Pick that.
I just hope that it's not, he's not always going to be so reliant on Tony Stark.
We'll have to see how that goes.
He's a child.
That's what I'm saying. Now he's a child. In the future, he won't be.
He'll be a man, baby.
Really? People grow up.
Oh, wow. Well, good thing we have an audience.
Not these two.
Turn her mic off. Can we do that?
No, but we can park the car and they can get out.
We are.
All right, so...
So what do we think about the performances?
I think across the board acting was strong. I think Tom Holland is as good of a Spider-Man as we've seen.
I think he's great.
He seems to embrace the role. He knows who Peter Parker should be.
Yeah.
I liked all the kids that surrounded him. I liked Michael Keaton's performance as the villain. I mean, a little over the top from time to time. Get out of here. But I liked him. I was convinced. And you did sort of, once you sort of learned about his motivations.
Yeah.
You got it a little bit more.
I mean, he's definitely going to do whatever it takes to defend his family.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's villains are villains. But considering how many bad villains we've had in Spider-Man movies...
We've had bad villains, we've had bad villains in MCU movies. I mean, they're kind of there to serve the story, and there isn't anything more to them than that. At least we get a little bit more to the Vulture's backstory,
which
is good.
And they've set up an interesting situation with the Vulture at the end of the movie, which I think has some echoes of Marvel comic book storylines. I don't know if it's with the Vulture himself, but I think that it will make for interesting sequels, especially if the Vulture's a part of that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have no qualms with anybody they cast. I think it was very enjoyable. As a matter of fact, a lot of the parts of the movie I liked were the non-action stuff. I liked Spider-Man trying to deal with, you know, a place where there are no buildings to swing from, for instance.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
As a matter of fact, he didn't even really swing from buildings in this.
He had to run a lot.
Yeah. When he was in the city, it's like he just hasn't figured that out yet.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, and I feel like I agree with you. The stuff that Spider-Man just kind of figuring out Spider-Man or Peter Parker in, you know, regular social situations, I really enjoyed all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think if there's anything that I'm going to pick on this film for, I felt like some of the larger set pieces maybe were, I don't know, I sort of maybe lost track of what was going on a little bit here
and
there.
Some dark scenes.
It could have been staged a little bit better, and I understand that you have a flying villain primarily, and so you're... final set piece is going to have to involve that in some capacity, but it felt weird that the big final Spider-Man battle was in the sky on a plane. I don't know, that just didn't feel right to me. I always feel like Spider-Man should be down in the city doing stuff, and I don't know, again, maybe it's just the product of the villain being who he is that they kind of had to do that, but I don't know, I felt like I wanted some city action and I didn't get it.
They were not in downtown very often.
Maybe they saved that for the Avengers, although the Avengers have moved out now.
Yeah, so we'll have to see where that goes. Yeah. beyond that, where do you think the Spider-Man movie universe is going to go now that Sony has tasted success, like a legitimate creative success and a financial success with this film?
I think any film that has Spider-Man at its core is probably going to be successful and is going to involve Marvel Studios. Anything else is completely suspect at this point. Sony has to earn my trust.
So they're talking about a Venom standalone film. They're talking about a Black Cat.
And they're talking about it as if that it's not even going to be part of the MCU, which is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, I think technically it will be part of the MCU because I think that's just the deal at this point. But, you know, it won't.
You'll never see any crossover stuff.
No, and I don't necessarily need to crossover, but just acknowledge that it's part of the whole thing instead of pretending like it's its own separate thing. It's weird to me. Yeah, Sony, you lost this battle. You're part of the family now. Just embrace it and enjoy it.
Reap
the benefits.
They see what Fox has done, and I think that they really hope that they can get to that point.
They just don't have enough material.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Fox, a lot of people would argue, they're not doing it right with X-Men.
This would be one of them.
I think it's a disaster. I think that what they're doing is a disaster.
Yeah.
And if Sony wants to go down that route, especially with DC starting to figure things out and crowding the market, you've got to go where the winners are at. And for them, it's not going to be on a path on their own. Those movies will be failures, and they probably will not be, failures from a creative standpoint. And who knows if they can get people to come and see these films if it doesn't have Spider-Man in it. You cannot have a Venom movie and not have Spider-Man. You can't have Black Cat and not have Spider-Man. You just can't do it. What's the point?
I guess what we're saying is, Sony board, don't listen to your studio heads. Listen to these two guys talking.
We know
in a car.
What we're talking.
We know what'll set you on the right path.
Keep Spider-Man with his friends in the Marvel Universe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, super friends. Spider-Man is amazing friends. That's right.
Yeah, Jared and Shane are his amazing friends.
Right, get Iceman in there, get Firestar in there, we're good to go.
Well, let's take a break and see if we can find an amazing score for this film, shall we?
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
So we're going with 3.5 stars. That seems to be the going rate for our superhero films. Jared a little lower.
Across the board, so
I'm
far,
a little higher. My commentary was this: if you want perspective, I like Spider-Man better than Wonder Woman. It's very close with Guardians of the Galaxy. I felt probably the same way walking out of this film as I did Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it was a successful superhero film with a few small...
And I think I probably like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 more than you, just slightly.
Yeah, it was really close.
The net score is 3.5 on Ollie, so they're all right there as far as we're concerned.
Now, let's say something about Wonder Woman briefly.
Okay.
If there would have been other successful DC Universe movies, maybe Wonder Woman slips, for me, a little bit closer to 3.25.
Okay, so you have to view it in the context
of
what
it's a contextual
doing so far.
Score.
And it, okay.
So that's what I think.
That's absolutely fair.
So Jared, tell our listeners, tell our viewers how they can talk to us about this score and any other score they want.
If you've stuck around this long, please like, comment, and subscribe down below.
That's just that easy. So for the two fools behind us that left, all they did was sabotage our review.
That's what they do.
For Jared and for a Monday morning screening of a film, because we
love
it.
Back to work tomorrow.
That made this Complete Culture cast the best on the internet, Jared. So until the next Scope episode or Scope movie review, bye for now.